This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace the change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Did you say I could pronounce the vitamin?
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, why don't we tell what the show is?
Vitamin J.
Of what program? Catholic Vitamins.
Catholic Vitamin J.
Yes. And the vitamin is?
You're going to say that.
Joie de vivre. Joie de vivre. Which means what, Dee?
I don't know.
It means really happy, joyous feeling inside. Somebody who's got joy in their spirit. And, you know, if we're reborn Catholics, if we are on fire Catholics, we're going to have joie de vivre.
I see.
Do you have that?
I don't sound like it, do I?
Well, you may not use the words, but I think you have it. I've seen you in church and I've seen you at adoration, so I believe you do. Sometimes.
So our guest for this show.
Oh, yes, let's do that, please.
Is going to be Robert White, and he's the president of St. Gianna Mola Institute.
All right. And she was a saint who had a great joy. She was a doctor, a medical doctor. She was a woman of great spirit and really showed, the joy that she had in her life. We're going to hear a little bit about that during our time with Bob, our guest, Bob White. And Mariana has a nice piece that sort of sets the tone for what this vitamin is about. And Justin is here. I don't think we're going to have Fergal, dear, because He's still busy,
full of everything.
Yeah, well, he's first of all a husband. He's got to pay attention to that. He's a father of five, I believe.
He's a teacher.
Yes, he is a teacher. Yes, and he is
a deacon candidate.
Yep, they're in the final stages of deacon, and they, you know, they're making him do papers and studies and retreats. And I just remember what it was like so much. I remember how much I enjoyed when they did liturgical preparation as one of the classes where we had to go through how to do a baptism and what the various things were that we did. Mm-hmm. The chrismation, the blessing of the child with oil. And, oh, it was just wonderful. I loved it. Well, dear, what show is this? This is show number
181.
Wow. And we're still enjoying. We have great spirits, so we have joie de vivre, Dee. What else are we going to talk about?
Oh, I wanted to say we finally got our logo on iTunes.
Oh, thanks to Brian.
It's only took us 3+ years to get a logo on iTunes?
I know. All right, well, our logo is there, thanks to Brian.
We've never known. We don't have a reputation for being very fast getting anything done, do we?
Does it sound like we take vitamins? So, thanks for that, Brian Murdaugh, who's been a tech guru. Speaking of tech gurus, we met someone.
We don't want to dismiss Brian's ability, but we met another. We met somebody else who has a bit of techiness to her.
She is Andrea Boring. She is a
she's
wife.
Not boring.
No, she's gosh, no. She's a wife and a mother of two twin boys.
5-year-old twin, almost 5-year-old twins.
Right. We met Andrea. We welcomed them to our town, and we went to Saturday morning mass together. The boys were very nice, very nice. I could hear every once in a while, but I saw them blessing themselves, and it's a beautiful thing to see the spirit working in the
family.
They're
cute boys. They're all boy.
Mm-hmm. And then we went to breakfast at the airport, and it was a morning when there was all sort of activity with airplanes and a couple of helicopters.
Yeah. Being as it was the weekend and it was a nice sunny day, there was a lot of plane activity, and the boys were just, we couldn't even carry on a conversation at breakfast because every couple seconds the boys were going, Mom, look, look.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was exactly what we had hoped for for them. Yeah. And then we brought them over to the house and spent some social time. We showed them around. The boys made paper airplanes.
Yeah, I realized I didn't have any, before they got here, I realized I don't have any boy toys. Mm-hmm. We don't have any boy toys because our closest grandchildren are girls.
Right,
so we only have girl stuff. But there were, we did have some storybooks and we had some paper pads and crayons and coloring books. And so they got into the spirit of that and they were making paper airplanes and coloring the paper airplanes. And then you and Andrea wanted to go off and talk some techie talk for a little while. So I entertained the boys, or I should say they entertained me with the paper airplanes. But I kept an eye on them because they wanted to go up and down the stairs. I think stairs were a novelty to them.
Sure.
Most houses down the valley don't have stairs, don't have second floors. So
when we talk about the words joie de vivre, and we mean it in an internal sense of happiness, being around children like that is such a joy, such a great joy. I mean, we've never had to be there when they're sick or when they wake up in the middle of the night, and et cetera, et cetera. But what a joy to be with them. And
it was fun, and it's fun to watch them with doing something that required a little bit of imagination, play, you know, creating a paper airplane and playing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I was up here in our podcast palace, to quote somebody else's phrase, and we did talk about a few things. We looked at the website, and God willing, we may be able to have her help us with some changes we have in mind to our website. So anything else we need to do in our...
I thought I'd make a little announcement since we already got this kind of heads up from SQPN on this year's conferences. They're going to have two conferences this year.
These are Catholic New Media.
Catholic New Media conferences, yeah. One is going to be back in the Boston Archdiocese like it was a couple years ago. And that's going to be in October, around October 19th. And then they're also going to have one in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, September 2nd and 3rd. And they're partnering with one of the affiliate shows that we have with SQPN, the 15th station, that is Down Under.
All right. You know, we've been as far as the Fiji Islands, you know that, Dee, which was almost to Australia. I wouldn't mind going back, but I think we've got our travel plans for the year pretty well.
We've got Ireland coming up, and that will be our one big trip this year.
Yep, and then... Maybe some travel back east, as I do for Franciscan University, and you to visit your family in Pennsylvania. All to come. That's
important, too. I wish we could do all this stuff, though.
I know. Maybe I need to give up being a deacon. Then I'd have to give up the show. Then we wouldn't have any prattle.
I told you before we could take a sabbatical. We could rent an RV and travel for a year. How's that? We could do the podcast on the road.
Does anybody listening to our show have a RV that we could rent cheap? All right. Well, that's a vitamin P prattle for our first segment. And Mariana has a delightful introduction to our concept for this Catholic Vitamin J.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. At age 14, Abenawe dug a long trench alongside his parents' home. He hauled dry sticks and brush from the mountainsides and built himself a traditional Ugandan mud hut. This was a common rite of passage practiced by young men in his East African tribe. During the day, Abenawe was still right on hand for his family to help them farm cassava, bananas, and yams. When evening fell, he was free to join his parents and his brothers and sisters in the main family hut. He liked to joke that he had more siblings than Jesus had apostles. There was never a shortage of company. Abenawe's first mother had died when he was in fourth grade, and his father had remarried. The new wife added 6 more brothers and sisters to the family, bringing the total number of children to 16. On some nights, the teenaged Abenawe joined the pack and the fun in the main house. On other nights, he chose to stay in his little private hut. This traditional arrangement allowed young people like him space and freedom to think and develop as they grew into maturity. It also allowed for a safe space to welcome in friends of his own age if they just wanted some quiet time to chat or play cards. Overseen nicely, but not too closely, by his parents. I interviewed Abenawe for the January 2001 issue of Catholic Extension magazine, and I'll always remember what fun it was to learn about his unique upbringing and culture. By 2001, this young man was Brother Jogues Abenawe, and he had helped found a new religious congregation called the Missionaries of Hope. Before entering the seminary, he taught Swahili at Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament School in Shreveport, Louisiana. People talk about the Cajuns and their joie de vivre. Well, Brother Jogues was in a Cajun region, but he was serving African Americans in the poorest part of Shreveport, in an area riddled by crack houses and dens of prostitution. Brother Jogues reflected his own brand of joie de vivre that contradicted his tough surroundings. All the priests and brothers at Blessed Sacrament Parish would gather to celebrate Mass in Swahili in an 8-by-8-foot room at their residence. They were Chombo Cha Amani Yabwana, Swahili for instruments of the Lord's peace, and with peace naturally flows joy. Also, these young men, all of different tribes from Uganda and Kenya, were shepherded by an Irish-German Franciscan from Chicago who had gone to Africa on missionary assignment and fallen in love with the people and culture. At best, when different ethnic groups work together, it can generate a lot of entertainment as people learn to understand one another and rise above cultural differences. Brother Jogues Abenawe marveled with me at how Americans found it necessary to cover floors and carpets and have 5 televisions in one home. Back in 2001, he said most people in Africa still didn't have televisions. Although we laughed and had a comfortable conversation, I remember a moment when Brother Jogues got very quiet as he described having to drop out of his high school in Africa for 3 years due to guerrilla warfare. Returning home from his boarding school, he came upon a clearing with slain soldiers. It's an image that replayed often in his mind, but there was a competing image, and that was of his father reading his Bible and singing Latin hymns in Abenawe's childhood home. His father was an orphan who had been raised by priests, so Brother Jogues said his father's faith was an inspiration to him. In fact, Brother Jogues went on to enter the seminary in New Orleans and continue his studies and was ordained a priest. Father Jogues Abenawe is now a Franciscan missionary of hope back in Kenya. In the Extension article, I quote that Irish-German Franciscan, Father Andre McGrath, who helped oversee Father Jogues' studies. He said something that I, too, had experienced in exploring the poorest pockets of America. But before I quote Father, I need to acknowledge that poverty can be frightening and ugly. When a child is sick and a mother and father have no funds for treatment, when a home is lost to foreclosure, when hair turns straw-like due to someone's lack of nutrition, or people despair and turn to addiction. In all those ways, poverty is distressing, a word Mother Teresa used in describing poverty as Jesus' distressing disguise. We need to do all we can to alleviate poverty and save others from suffering. But faith lived amidst poverty is incredibly beautiful. It was a magnet to me when I traveled to missions because people who lived their faith amidst the frightening ugliness of poverty are heroes. About the faith in third world nations like Africa, Father McGrath said, "It's astounding. The more the people suffer and the poorer they are, the more vibrant their faith. I never could quite understand that. When they have absolutely nothing, how joyfully they can sing and loudly they can pray."
So I hate to be repetitive, but you can really see why Mariana is a 7-time award-winning journalist and... She sent an email separately, which Dee printed off nicely for me to share with you. I'm going to just share a part of it. Mariana has befriended and has been helping a priest in India named Father Varghese. You may have heard her or us mention Father Varghese before. So here's Mariana's email. "My friend Father Varghese in India just learned his archbishop is coming to his mission to celebrate the first confirmations in 10 years. Former pastors were elderly and lacked energy and funds to host confirmations. Father Varghese is excited that 200 people ages 12 to 45 will be confirmed on May 8th. To see what has unfolded in their community is incredible. Mariana says, you see, the people have nowhere to put the archbishop or the ceremony. Their church is tiny, and it would be really overflowing for the event." Well, Father Varghese made the announcement that the archbishop has agreed to come, and by the following Monday, volunteers had showed up and were breaking apart a concrete slab with sledgehammers to remove an ugly old stage and to replace it in honor of the archbishop's coming. Mariana says that she developed a new blog spot for Father Varghese to follow these incredible events. She says you have to see the photos of the ladies barefoot and in saris walking in the construction zone. And they are doing it all with a smile. Talk about joie de vivre. Please encourage listeners to Catholic Vitamins to visit, and I'm going to say the word and then I will spell it out, daylightjournal.blogspot.com. And maybe I'm mispronouncing the intent of Mariana's word, but it's D, like dog, D-A-L-I-T, the word journal, just continued altogether, daylightjournal.blogspot.com.
Daylit, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, no E on that, daylit, okay, thank you. To learn more about this wonderful priest, his people, and their exciting project, and we'll put a link in our show notes on the blog page for this. Thank you, Mariana, for all you do for Catholic Vitamins and for bringing joie de vivre to us each week.
I already looked at that site that she gave us, and I looked at the pictures. Uh-huh. It is beautiful to see the women. Women all dressed in their pretty saris, isn't that what they call it?
I think so.
And yet they're working, doing this hard work.
Yeah, but going back, reflecting to what Mariana said in her piece, her missionary moment, you know, poverty doesn't stop a lot of the people. We know from our Latin American associations, people have nothing, virtually nothing, and don't have a lot to eat either. But they have great joy in their faith, and they celebrate it. And you remember Father Marcel from Africa that was my spiritual director up in, he had such joy. Oh, wow. You got something over there to share?
Well, we didn't have much feedback this week, but I did just want to say that Don Barry up in Canada did mention that he was referring back to our podcast with Father Donald Calloway. Uh-huh. And he said he heard his testimonial on EWTN a few years ago. So. Uh-huh. And Ebeth posted last week that she was going to be going to a conference this weekend in North Carolina, her state of North Carolina. It was called Ignited by Truth Catholic Conference. Mm-hmm. And she was going to be seeing Scott Hahn. And she seemed like her postings made it sound like she was really excited about that. She was thinking about taking all the books she has written by Scott and getting them autographed. Mm-hmm. Well, then we saw over the weekend that she had her picture taken with Scott Hahn.
Yeah, how exciting. Yeah, fun. Yeah. Yeah.
And I made some posts. Well, I see you're hanging out with the heavy hitters. I guess you're not going to have anything to do with us little people. And she wrote back and she says, little people, I dare to differ with you. I'll still be hanging with the heavy hitters on Catholic Vitamins.
Oh, how sweet. Thank you. I hate to, you know, shatter her balloon or break her balloon, but we've been with Scott Hahn a couple, three times, and I've been with him at Franciscan University, talked with him across the table, and he's so wonderful to talk with, and what a great speaker he is, too.
I think I've only seen him once, and that was when he came and did a talk in Denver. We lived in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. All right, dear. We are really, really blessed by the guest we're going to bring forth, and there's an internal embedded topic of joie de vivre that will, I think, unfold, and we hope to share more about this special saint in our blog page. But for right now, let's get to our guest. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, we're on the phone with Bob White. And the underlying theme for our show is internal joy, knowing the Lord Jesus, knowing his mother, knowing the saints, and having a joy that just fills us with great hope and happiness. Your name probably will be new, Bob. We welcome you to Catholic Vitamins, and let's start by asking you to tell us, who is Bob White?
Who I am? I'm actually the president of the Society of St. Gianna Beretta Mola. We started this society probably about 12, 13 years ago when she was just blessed, and we've worked on from that. I am born Catholic. I've been raised Catholic my whole life. I have a devotion to the Blessed Mother and to the Holy Rosary, and I believe that has driven me a long way in this spiritual course that Jesus and his mother have driven me on.
All right. Just by way of looking backwards for a moment, Did you have any periods when you weren't actively Catholic, or did you have any?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I did. There was a lot of years where I was Catholic, going to church, but I really wasn't Catholic. I was living for the world, and I went to a mass, a daily mass, and I started praying the rosary. And I remember saying to Our Lady, saying, and to Jesus, if you'll help me change my ways, I'll help you out, whatever you want me to do. I was smoking then, I was drinking, I was using caffeine, and I told them that I would stop using all of them if they would help me. And I quit all three of them, that one in one day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my heavens.
I had a migraine headache for three days.
Yeah.
But
I've done two of the three. I don't know, caffeine may be the worst one for me to quit, but moving on. So it sounds like you had some sort of a milder or fairly strong desire, a call to change your life.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Before we get into the institute that you're involved in, when we were talking on the phone earlier and trying to do some planning for our setup work, you described a young girl, Claire. You want to tell our listeners that story?
Yes, I will. We go around to Catholic churches and we do presentations where the people can come forward after Mass and venerate the relics. We were doing a particular church in Pennsylvania, and a young girl by the name of Claire Crotty, who would be sick 15 to 20 days out of the month with ear infection, nose infections, and throat infections. Her mother had taken to her children's hospital, and they had diagnosed her with a suppressed immune system. This young four-year-old girl had first stages of cancer. Her mother had heard of the presentation and brought the little girl to the church. When Claire came forward, she picked the relic up and she dropped it immediately. Her mother was horrified. "Claire, why did you drop that relic?" "Mommy, that glove's too hot to touch." Her mother took the glove, touched her ears, her nose, her throat, and they went on her way. We received an email from Claire, Ann, several weeks later, Claire's mother, that the little girl was no longer getting sick after the presentation, and they had taken her back to Children's Hospital. An immunologist had drew 19 vials of blood, and he came back with an astonished look, and he says, "I need to draw more blood work." And Ann's like, "What's the matter? What's going on here?" He says, "I need more blood." So they drew another 19 vials of blood from this four-year-old girl, and the immunologist came back with this astonished look and said, "I've no medical explanation for you, but your daughter's blood work came back fine. There's nothing wrong with her." They had purchased a picture, Anne had purchased a picture of St. Gianna at that presentation that day, and when she found out her daughter was better, she put that picture on the refrigerator. The next morning, the four-year-old girl, she heard her calling to her mother from the kitchen, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy." Anne came in, she said, "Claire, what's the matter?" This four-year-old girl points to that picture on the refrigerator and says, "That's the woman helped me get all better." She didn't say, "That's the woman who made me better." She said, "That's the woman helped me get all better," letting us know that the saint interceded and Jesus is the one who healed. And the four-year-old understood that.
Okay, so I think now we can get into the heart of why we ask you to come on Catholic Vitamins. I only recently, within the last couple of years, had heard of St. Gianna, and I would guess that some of our listeners, or maybe many, have never really heard of her, or if they have, they don't know anything about her. Could you give us, you know, an overview of who she is?
Yeah, St. Gianna was a wife, a mother, and a doctor. She lived a very devout life, and she worked very hard for the church and what she did in her life. She worked hard with young children in Catholic Actions, helping them to understand their lives better. She was also so well trained in the faith, and this was from the family life, that at age 5 she was permitted to receive Holy Communion. Her family would pray the family rosary every day, and they would consecrate the home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus every night, and they'd have scriptural readings in that home. And this was the foundation for St. Gianna's sainthood. These prayers, this living the Catholic life, and it was very, very instrumental in helping her become who she was.
Wonderful. So there's a pro-life story involved in St. Gianna. Can you take us into that?
There's a lot of pro-life stories in St. Gianna. We've had many, many women who were unable to conceive come to the shrine, venerate the relics. We get emails back from them that they had conceived. We've had many women that had problem pregnancies who conceived. Our vice president, Angela, had tremendous problems trying to conceive, and she was seeing specialists about that were in line with the Catholic Church. And she venerated the relics, she prayed to St. Gianna, and Angela now has three children, and she devotes a lot of time to St. Gianna, and she believes through her intercession, she was granted the grace to be a mother of three beautiful children.
Okay, wonderful. And you know that I've done some work with her, and she's just been awesome to work with, and she's much in love with St. Gianna, and we just... aren't able to have her on our time tonight. You mentioned relics a couple times, and you had shared with me something about the relics. Would you please tell our listeners what the deal is about the relics, why they're unique?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to start out with Acts 19:11-12. It says, when Peter walked past them, if his shadow fell upon him or they touched his cloak, evil spirits came out of them, and they were cured of their infirmities. This is where the church gets their teaching on the venerations of relics. It's not something made up. So if you ever are venerating relics, and your Protestant brothers and sisters said to you, why don't you just go straight to Jesus, you can say Acts 19:11-12 tells me I can do this. The relics that we have are actually a pair of gloves that St. Gianna wore. We have several relics, actually. But for this one particular pair, is a pair of leather gloves that she wore when she was driving. If anyone out there has ever venerated a relic, the relic was either in what they call a reliquary. It's a glass container. You got to hold the reliquary, but not the relic itself. When Mr. Mola gave us these relics, he said, you can have them, but the faithful get to touch them. These relics are not sealed. So just like young Claire, when you come up and she picked that glove up and she said, this is too hot to touch, she said that because she was actually touching that relic. 2,000 years of church history, and until St. Gianna, no one has ever physically touched a relic.
Mm, how beautiful. Now, I know that you have a traveling ministry. Would you fill our listeners in on that?
Yes. We go around to churches. We'll go anywhere in the United States. I've been in Canada. We haven't been out of Canada or America. And what we do is if you go on our website, www.stgianna.org, click on presentations, there's a little card that will come up and you fill that card out. What we would do then is we would come to your parish. We cover all the masses. What would happen after communion, I give a 5-minute talk on St. Gianna's life. After that, the faithful are invited to come forward and touch these relics. When you come forward, and what we really ask people to do is when they're coming forward, is husbands and wives and families, hold the glove together. Pray for the sanctity of your family. We encourage husbands and wives to touch the relic to their wedding bands. If you have a miraculous medal, anything like that, touch that to it. When they come forward, they're given two prayer cards. These prayer cards have been touched to the relics. You also receive a pamphlet. The prayer cards, there have been many answered prayers with that, and I'd just like to share one with you really fast.
Sure, please.
A man came to a presentation in Philadelphia. He took those two prayer cards, and he took them to his grandmother, who was in Abington Hospital, who was diagnosed with lung cancer. They put the prayer cards on her. They said the prayers. The lumps in the right lung are gone, and the lumps in the left lung are diminishing, and that testimony was in the Philadelphia Catholic Standard and Time, again showing Acts 19:11-12.
Awesome. So what does it cost to get Bob White to come to, for example, Arizona?
If we were to come to Arizona, I have no stipend. I charge nothing for what I get. Jesus said, you've been given freely, freely give of what you have. So that's what we do. I would need the airfare covered because I'm in Pennsylvania, so I'm not going to drive. Airfare would have to be covered. And then I need a place to stay. That could be in a rectory, could be in a parishioner's home. And I would need a couple meals. Again, it could be in the rectory, a parishioner's home. Many times I have stayed in rectories. I've stayed in parishioner's home or people have put us up in a hotel or a motel. That would be, you know, the people who were sponsoring us coming out. That would be their decision how they worked that.
Okay, and you said you've been doing this for a lot of years. Where have you been, just to thumbnail some of your travels?
Florida, been to Calgary, Canada. Been to Minnesota, been all over. I mean, been to a lot of places. And
Do you do a talk besides the 5 minutes at the end of Mass? Do you have a separate talk that you do?
Yes, I do. I'm going actually to St. Stephen of Hungary in Allentown in 2 weeks, and I'll be giving a 20-minute talk to a 30-minute talk there, which is really ideal because we can really touch on all the bases. Gianna was canonized mother of the family, and the family's a mess today, right across the board, and we expose what causes those problems in the family and try to root them up and get these people grounded in the Gospels, in prayer, and in Jesus to get this illness out of the Catholic family, and it's in there. It's rooted deep.
What a wonderful opportunity, and then to be able to touch live relics. When I was asking you about St. Gianna, I didn't think to put on there the end of my question. Why is it that she was declared a saint? What happened about her life that made her a candidate for sainthood?
The thing that probably opened it up, well, first of all, what gets you a saint, you have to have two answered prayers. What does it? But St. Gianna lived a really holy and virtuous life. And as a matter of fact, when she was married, the day she was married, the entire town of Milan showed up for the wedding because everyone loved her. But what had happened, a woman in Brazil had kind of similar thing that killed St. Gianna, and she would have to travel 100 kilometers by train, and the trip was just too grueling. Now you got to remember, we're not in 1980 or 2000 where trains go 100 miles an hour. We're talking, you know, back a few years, and the train travel would have been too strenuous for her. One of the sisters at the hospital said, I know St. Gianna, let's invoke her and pray for her. They did, and the next morning the woman was fine. Again, in Brazil, the second answered prayer, a young girl was having some problems, and Oh, that's right. The mother lost all the amniotic fluid for the child in the second trimester of the pregnancy.
Oh, my.
They prayed to St. Gianna, and the woman went full term and delivered a happy child. And for our young children listening out there, if you're listening to this, what would happen if you took a fish out of water or out of its fishbowl?
Mm.
A fish would die. This child was taken out of that amniotic fluid, or just like a fish, removed from the water, and went over, you know, a trimester and a half and came out healthy, a healthy baby. So those two things were checked out by the church. They were all approved, and she was canonized as the mother of a family.
When you described visiting your website, stgianna.com?
It's www.stgianna.org.
Thank you. When you mentioned visiting the website, you mentioned one function, which is that people can begin the request for a visitation to a parish or a chancery or something. What else can you do on the website?
There are several things you can do. One of the things we're really, really excited about is we have prayer petition. If you were to go on that website, click on prayer petitions, and write your request for a prayer, whatever it be, you don't have to put your name. Most people do put their name, though. And what will happen, we have a woman in our society who is sent from God above. She is absolutely awesome. Her name is Ann Peppers. She will respond to that email. And if you get back to her with your address, she will mail you two prayer cards that will be touched to the relics. She'll send you a medal of St. Gianna that's been touched to the prayer cards, to the relics, and also a pamphlet on St. Gianna's life. And there is no cost for this.
Oh,
we do this all for free. We probably send out anywhere from 25 to 50 of these a week. When we started doing it, we were doing two to three a week. We're up over to 25 to 50 a week, depending on the week. And we've had many, many people answer us back with these prayer cards telling us of the answered prayers that they've received through the intercession of St. Gianna.
A practical question. How is it that, you know, I don't know what your age is, but how is it that you're able to get away from home and work and do these travels?
I do them on the weekends. I work a lot of hours. And on the weekends, if I'm doing a presentation, I have to work extra during the week to get out to be able to do these. And God always opens the door for you. He always seems to make an opening. And it's a real sure way to know that you're doing God's will. I've tried a lot of things in church growing up, and I found out that if you're doing God's will, doors just open. You don't have to go and knock on them and open them up. It's not a battle. Everything goes very smooth. And with St. Gianna, everything goes relatively very, very smooth. And that's my discernment that God, yes, this is what I want you to do. And discernment we have to use in everything, whoever we are. Discern that it's God's will and not yours.
When we were talking earlier in the day, you had mentioned, I forget how we got onto this particular topic, but you had mentioned faith without works. And I forget the thread that led into that, but you want to say a few words about that?
Absolutely. In the scriptures, and I'm not sure where it is now. I would have to go in and check. I'm pretty sure it's in Acts, in the beginning of Acts of the Apostles, but I'm not sure. But it says, faith without works is dead. And what Paul goes on to say, he says, you show me faith without works, and I'll show you my works that underlines my faith. It's a very true statement. If you see someone who claims to be religious and they're not living that life, what does it do? It's a major turnoff to people. But when people see someone living and actually doing their faith and living being a true witness to the gospel, it has a tremendous impact on people. And I forget who the saint was, but he said, I preach the gospel all day long, and sometimes I use words.
Mm. Sounds like St. Francis of Assisi.
That's who it was. It was St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah.
So everything we do throughout the day, Deacon Tom, people are watching us, and we're under a microscope. And as Catholics, we are either lifting up the church or we're bringing scandal upon it. We have to be very, very careful that we're building the church up and not bringing scandal by our actions, because people know we're Catholic and they're looking to us. And the Blessed Mother once said, and this was private revelations, and the church doesn't prove on that, but she said that if every Catholics acted the way they were supposed to, the whole world would be Catholic. And I'd like to quote on one other thing. John Paul was in St. Louis when he was here, and a woman came up to him, and she said to him, she said, we as Catholics in America are the best in the world. She said, we have all the resources available to us. Therefore, we're the greatest Catholics in the world. And John Paul looked at that woman and said, how have you transformed society around you?
Mm.
And that will ring through time and eternity, those words, and they will greet us at our judgment seat. How have you transformed society around you? Or how have you become the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ?
The voice you've been listening to in this wonderful interview is Bob White. He's with the St. Gianna Mola Institute. Is there a way that people can get in touch with you that you'd like to mention, or just use your website?
No, absolutely. I first of all, Angela wanted me to say something about the shrine, if I could, real quick.
Yes, oh, please.
The shrine is open on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. with confessions. And then there's a vigil mass at 5 p.m. after that. After that, the shrine is closed. You can visit the shrine on Sundays at 8, 10, and 12, after the 8, 10, and 12 mass, and the shrine closes at 2 p.m. But if someone would like to get a hold of me, they could go on presentations, click on presentations then click on schedule, and they'll see a schedule, and then my cell phone number is on the schedule right there. So they could get my cell phone number and call me. Or the best way to do it is go online, www.stgiana.org, click on presentations, fill out the form. That form will come directly to me, and then I will be in touch with you.
Wonderful. Where is the shrine that Angela and you were mentioning?
The shrine is located at Nativity of Our Lord Parish in Warminster, Pennsylvania. The pastor there is Father Satino is awesome. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for that man, the shrine would not be here, and literally thousands of people would have been deprived all the graces that God has given us through this shrine.
Well, what a blessing. We have to thank Father for his yes to the priesthood and his yes for supporting this. How did this get started? Was Father, was he really aware of St. Gianna?
Actually what had happened, our president emeritus, Joe Cunningham, who is bilingual, looked up Mr. Mola and called him in Italy.
Wow.
And he could speak Italian, and he asked him for relics. And Mr. Mola sent the relics. And Joe had those relics sitting in his home for a couple years. And he met up with a gentleman by the name of Jim Buffler. And Jim Buffler actually started the presentations in the churches and started to get the shrine up and moving. Jim has stepped out since. Joe has stepped out, and now I'm the president and presentation director, and Angela is the vice president. We have a large board, and these people do a lot of work. Mm-hmm. If you would ever like something for a child, for a baptism or for a birthday, you can go online, go to our store. You can order all kinds of miraculous medals, all kinds of stuff for St. Gianna, and they will be touched to the relics and then sent, and you would also get prayer cards with that.
How beautiful. Well, this has just been a great interview, and those who listen to us regularly over time know that I do a lot of research to try to come up with faith topics or ideas for shows. And I was on this quest for joy. I was using the French words for internal joy, and somehow that led to St. Gianna, and I just felt she must have had great joy in her faith walk and in the witness that she gave. And so I'm really glad that we were able to put this together.
And I'd like to say one other thing about St. Gianna. St. Gianna died. She died of what they called septoperitonitis. And she was very ill in the last days after she gave birth to her last child. And as St. Gianna was home in bed, she knew she was dying. Before she died, St. Gianna said something that's very profound, and I'd like to share that with your listeners. This is a woman who just gave birth to a child. She knows she's going to die. She's not going to see that child. She has three other children. She's not going to see them, and she has a husband. Most of us, just take a second and think what would run through your head, how you'd feel right then at that moment, and what you'd be saying. And now I'll tell you what Gianna said.
Please.
Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you.
Mm.
What a tremendous, tremendous witness to the church.
Amen. Amen. Well, Bob, thank you so very much. You've put in a full day, and I'm nearing the end of mine, but you graciously agreed to come on the show, and we will send information to Angela when the show is posted. And remember that our audience doesn't always listen right away, so it's over time, but this will be out there for quite a long while, and we thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
It was my pleasure to do it, and if you're listening, we'd love to come to your church and do presentations. You'll be amazed at how many people, everyone in that church will come up to venerate those relics.
Mm. Thanks again, Bob.
All right, God bless you.
Over the years, I think I've heard the name of St. Gianna before, but it seems that she's coming more to my awareness. I remember Patrick Coffin from Catholic Answers, the program heard on EWTN, and Catholic radio stations around the world. Patrick Coffin talked about her at a men's conference we went to, and it was so great to have our special guest and to learn more about her and to learn more about the Institute. We'll put some information on our blog page and a link, obviously, to the Institute. While I was working on the show notes and re-listening to the interview, I pulled up a couple quotes by St. Gianna. And, you know, this is, I think, an example of joie de vivre. She says, "The secret of happiness is to live moment by moment and to thank God for what he is sending us every day in his goodness." Amen. Amen. St. Gianna, pray for us. And we know some women who are pregnant and newly having given birth. St. Gianna, pray for them. Intercede for them, please, as we pray for them. All right, well, another person who has joie de vivre and a great joy of the church and evangelization is our correspondent from the upper Midwest. That would be Justin Stroh.
Duke and Altum. Hi, this is Justin Stroh, and welcome to this new evangelization. Has anybody ever told you to stop preaching in his name? I would wager to believe that most of us have been told this before, by friends, by social pressure, work, school, other folks. Stop preaching in that name. Some years ago, my son was in a public school setting, and he was praying before his meal at lunch, and the paraprofessional came up to him and told him that he could not make the sign of the cross. Now, this is against the law in the United States. Nobody can tell anyone else that they can't practice their religion wherever they're at, you know, public property, school, or not. So this was kind of unnerving for me as a parent to hear this. Yet it was interesting because it was a spirit that was in this person that felt very strongly to tell my son to stop preaching in the name by making the sign of the cross. And, you know, if you go back in the New Testament, you see when they said this to the apostles, they were upset with the apostles because the apostles had filled all of Jerusalem with the teaching of Jesus. And my son was filling that lunchroom with the teachings of Jesus by making the sign of the cross, as is his right to be able to proclaim what it is he believes. Yet there is this self-righteous secularism that exists in all of us to squelch the cross. For everyone recognizes the sign of the cross. The cross calls us to obedience. It calls us to a deep obedience to the Holy Spirit, who has rescued us, who rescues us. And what's our disposition? To be thankful. See, the more thankful I become, it puts me in a humble spot, and in humility I can receive the glory of God, fully alive in the person of Jesus Christ, because he has the rightful authority. I don't. He does. He's worthy to receive all of our trust, all of it. And we become simply managers of what he owns. We're the stewards, but he's the owner. And that is something that our hearts need to be engaged in. When we talk about evangelization, it's about really passing on what has been given to us. We don't own it. It belongs to our Lord. So we fall down and we worship him in the sacred liturgy, so that we can receive from him, by the thanksgiving of the Eucharistic sacrifice, the very ability to be able to proclaim the gospel. This is why it says at the end of Mass, "Go and announce the gospel with your life." The Lord comes through evangelization and stands in the midst of his people. He wants to do so at work. He wants to do so at school. He wants to do so in all of those parts of the world outside of the church. He wants to stand in our midst and invite us to recognize him and to jump into the water like Peter jumps into the water, swimming toward our Lord. And then our Lord will bring us all to shore in the boat together. Notice in the gospel, when our Lord serves the apostles, he serves them from the catch of fish that he miraculously helped them catch, which was a work that he invited them to be engaged in, that work of evangelization. So in other words, for us as evangelists, we're going to be fed by our Lord through the evangelization that we will do. In other words, we need to evangelize. If we sit back and we wait for somebody else to do it, yet we know in our hearts that we're called to do it, then what happens is we give up on trusting in divine providence and what providence wants to do for us, God wants to do for us. For in his mercy, he has called us to this ministry. He has called us to be evangelists by our baptism, the most important day of our life, the day we were baptized. This is when he came and he stood in our midst and he invited us to recognize him.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Well, thank you, Justin Stroh, once again. Always love your contributions to Catholic Vitamins, and I think we benefit from them. We hear from our listeners from time to time who thank us for your segments. I think we're going to go out with Justin Stroh's I Love Being a Catholic, just because it speaks of internal joy and happiness. And
a lot it's a of people, fun song.
I know somebody commented on it the other day when they had listened to it a while back. This is maybe our third time playing it on the show, but I think it's a lot of fun. Hey, a few moments ago, I made mention of giving thanks for babies who were recently born, and that reminds us that Candy and Jim Bridges are newly grandparents again. Their daughter, Sarah, and her husband, Brad, just gave birth to, what was it, an 8-pound?
It's 8-pound, some odd ounce baby girl, Abby.
Abby.
She's beautiful. Sweet.
Yeah. So we congratulate Sarah and Brad and baby Abby, and we congratulate the grandparents, and we hope we get to see everyone soon. I didn't tell you, Dee, I forgot to mention, after the 11 o'clock Mass, when I went back in to do the cleanup of the vessels, Sarah DeWitt came and brought her baby up, and I got to kiss the baby, and the baby is just getting so...
I know, I've seen pictures that she's posted, but I haven't seen her in person now for a long time.
So I got to kiss the baby. I got to ask her, can she wave? And she squeezes her little hand together. She's so sweet. We just love kids a lot. So I guess we're heading towards a wrap on the show a little bit earlier than normal. That's because Fergal isn't with us, and I didn't have a speaker segment included in this show. But...
Well, we can divide a Scrabble.
All right. Please.
For next time, Catholic vitamin K ends in T, 6 letters.
Well, I'll have to think about that one. After 3.5 years, you'd think everybody would know how this works, but if you happen to be new, maybe you found us on iTunes, take a guess at the vitamin that Dee just teased about. Send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Correct entries go into a basket or a bucket that Dee has going, and we pull a name, and we have nice Catholic prizes that we send out, sometimes even sweet treats.
Yes.
All right. Dee, we have a book draw going on. We didn't mention that yet.
Yeah, this will go for another week.
David Cavillo's book, Real Men Pray the Rosary, A Practical Guide to a Powerful Prayer, is going to be published very soon, and we have been promised by the publisher that we can have a copy, and our guest shot, David, offered one of their T-shirts, Real Men Pray the Rosary T-shirt. So send in just an email and say Real Men Pray the Rosary or the Rosary book or whatever, so we know what you're talking about. We have another bucket that we'll do for those, and we'll pull a name and send out a gift. It's a great reading book. I'm looking at the back, and Doug Berry, who's the co-host of EWTN's Life on the Rock, says, through the rosary, we are trained and strengthened to do the work that God tells us to do. I encourage all to read and take to heart this great book. There you go. Dear Real Men, Pray the Rosary.
Right.
What else do we have to do before we leave?
A vitamin it.
Okay.
And I think that's it.
Here you go. You're on.
All right. And this is from?
St. Gianna.
Love your children. In them you can see baby Jesus. Pray for them a lot and every day put them under Holy Mary's protection.
There you go. That speaks to a joy of being a parent, joie de vivre. And we sound like we're kind of highbrow with that vitamin that we picked. Nobody took a guess at it. So maybe we'll go back to meat and potatoes with the next.
That's yes, right.
I have a book on my shelf. I don't think you've ever read it, Dee. I think it's called The Meat and Potatoes of Being a Catholic or something like that. But it's an apologetics book, a good believer's book. And I guess that's it for this show. We're looking forward to having Fergal get back when he can. And we're looking forward to going to Ireland. So that's part of what we're working on, our schedule. And
maybe if we don't get him back on the show before we go to Ireland, we can record a little segment with him while we're over there.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe with Mary to find out what it's like living with Fergal. Oh, Faith and Begar, he's terrible. All right. Well, thank you, dear friends, for listening to Catholic Vitamins. We hope that you have a great joy in your heart about your love of God and His love for you, and that you are faithfully enjoying the sacraments of the Church.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your Spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I got the fullness of the faith.